Hag Sameach, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and teacher of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, Hag Pesach Sameach to you, which on the Hebrew calendar begins April 22nd at sundown for 8 days. And we pray you are blessed with these teachings on the spring feast as we continue sharing these prophetic appointments of our Lord. Let's bow our hearts in prayer.
Abba, Father, we thank you for sending us your Son, who redeemed us by paying our debt for sins. Because of his resurrection, we will soon be entering your kingdom. Until then, let us be mindful to pray for those suffering, especially due to war and lawlessness. We continue to hold up to you our unsaved loved ones, and also for these recent prayer requests. May you bless those who are called by your name, protect us, and keep our burdens light. And may tonight's study be worthy of your smile. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And amen.
Well, looks like the drift between Netanyahu and Biden is getting deeper.
Yeah, the rift is. The White House has betrayed Israel, in my opinion, demanding a ceasefire, even though Hamas won't accept any plan, but for Israel first, agreeing to a permanent end of all hostilities.
In other words, surrender to Hamas.
Totally. Although Israel has not agreed to a permanent ceasefire, they have pulled out, except for one battalion in central Gaza that will focus on logistics.
But Biden threatened by withholding arms.
I'm sure that's not all, as being blackballed by the international community.
So, Bibi agreed.
To save face, he said this pause will give Israel more than enough power to face the ongoing shelling coming in from Lebanon, as well as better prepare for Iran's threats of revenge. You remember over Israel killing their top IRGC commanders last month. And openly said yesterday that an undisclosed date has been set for entering Rafah.
And they can still use air power.
Oh, and I'm sure they will. As in the process of, they're also in the process of buying 40,000 large tents for the displaced Palestinians to be located in certain protected areas. Unfortunately, we now have, but not surprising, information revealed in a WhatsApp group chat involving a well-known riot leader and coordinator. His name is Ami Dror, D-R-O-R, which was also authenticated on digital TV channel 14.
Which, by the way, is banned in the U.S.
Yeah, for obvious reasons, as you will now hear. So this call was like a nonchalant discussion on how the White House was asking Ami and his group to reinstate the riots in Israel.
Did you say reinstate?
Definitely. Riots have been requested and likely paid for previously by the Biden administration to help overthrow Netanyahu's right-wing government.
Well, we did, you know, suspect that.
Yes. But now there is proof. Remember last year they rioted over Israel's reforms, then over drafting the ultra-Orthodox, and since October 7th over the hostages by demanding a ceasefire? So this Ami Dror, during this chat, outlined the conversations he had with his contacts in the White House, calling it an important update from the American administration of a four-part plan to overthrow the government. The components involved negative actions in Gaza, the use of mass protests, the UN Security Council.
We just saw that where the U.S. did not veto the immediate ceasefire.
That's right. And extortion, meaning blackmailing their government ministers. And I think what I'm hearing is that they tried that with Defense Minister Benny Gantz, but didn't work real well as they thought it would. But it did get him, though, to call for early elections in September. So how about that? Over here, the Biden administration is betraying America in many aspects, including continuing to secretly fly immigrants into our states. While at least 50,000 Chinese men of military age are now here.
That has to be for nefarious reasons.
Mm-hmm. And add that information to the many Chinese police departments they have in America.
Yeah, right. There's at least six.
Probably organizing a Chinese army waiting for their orders.
We've already seen pictures of them target shooting.
Yeah, we have. And we know there are many terrorist sleeper cells forming as well. Oh, and by the way, we'll probably be asking you this next question an awful lot.
Aren't you glad that you know Jesus?
Amen. And praise the Lord, many college students are getting saved and even baptized in the back of pickup trucks. That's happening in Georgia, so let's pray that that spreads.
Okay, you can send your end-time question by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail, Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please consider a love offering. And we'll add you to our monthly mailing list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Oh, and also a reminder to put your return address on your envelope, because we sometimes receive envelopes that were broken into and have no way to inform the gifter who sent it. Also, your phone number on the insert would be helpful. I just might want to call you.
Okay, let's begin with a short summary of what we've already covered.
Well, we looked at Palm Sunday, although not an actual feast day. We saw its importance.
The day they would pick the lamb.
Yes, on the Hebrew calendar, it's always on Nisan 10, which, of course, was also the day they picked the Lamb of God in the Gospels, hailing him as king. And like the animal lamb, they examined Christ for 4 days as well, till Passover season began, always on Nisan 14. Then the next day came the Feast of Unleavened Bread at sundown,
when he was laid in the tomb.
Right, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because he was unleavened. And it would last 7 more days to equal the whole Passover season of 8 days. Then, always on the Sunday during the 7 days of unleavened bread, came the Feast of First Fruits,
when he rose from the dead,
as the first fruits of the resurrection. And soon we will be part two of that resurrection.
Or rapture, if you're alive.
Amen. So let's be clear. The actual first day is 24 hours from sundown to sundown, and that's the day of Passover.
And is not a high Sabbath.
Right. Rather more like a preparation day to kill the lamb and to eat their Seder meal. Then the holy high Sabbath begins the next day, but not until sundown, becoming Nisan 15, called Unleavened Bread,
which lasts 7 days.
So 1 + 7 = 8. We also, but hurriedly, covered why Mary was not allowed to touch Jesus when she first saw him at the tomb.
And a few did thank us for that explanation.
They did. Mm-hmm. So, yes, let's review that as we were running out of time, therefore a little rushed.
And be sure to share with others.
That's what learning's all about, so don't hide it under a bushel. And thankfully, we have a scripture to help us understand in Leviticus 23, verses 10 and 11.
Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your barley harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it.
Now, we know that's a regular Saturday Sabbath due to the Hebrew word Shabbat. When it is a high Sabbath, the Hebrew word is Shabbaton, or just an explanation that there shall be no work done on that day. So bottom line, the Feast of First Fruits is always on a Sunday during the 7 days of unleavened bread. And the scripture says that on the first fruits, the priest will take a barley sheaf from each family and wave it before Yahweh in the temple.
The custom was to do that at the early oblation.
Oblation, yes, which is 9 a.m. So Jesus, as priest, would also present himself before the Father in heaven, also at the morning oblation, again 9 a.m. Now we read in John 20, verse 17, that Mary Magdalene, being the first to see him resurrected, wanted to embrace him. But Jesus instructed her not to touch him at this time, for he had not yet gone to his Father to fulfill the wave offering.
So this had to be just before 9 a.m.
Well, exactly, because we know it fits the timeline of his resurrection in the morning watch, which is between 6 and 9 a.m. Also, and this is important, according to Jewish law, the priests were not to have any contact with anyone for, wait for it,
3 days.
Right. Not until after the special first fruits offering to the Lord. Just another confirmation as to why we should have some basic knowledge of our roots, as in their customs and common phraseology. So we see how Jesus really did fulfill every requirement, 3 days in the grave and then no one touching him till he, the risen Son, went to the Father to present himself.
Because while in the grave, he only visited Abraham's bosom to set the captives free.
Right, who had been anticipating their Messiah, whose spirits are now waiting in heaven till the rest of the righteous are resurrected. I also want to mention in Matthew 27, it says that some who were asleep in death were actually seen on the earth after Yeshua's resurrection. And I got to tell you, we just don't have any precise details, but I assume to attest to others of his resurrection and a type of the fact that we too will all someday be resurrected as well.
And that's all we know about that.
So continuing with Mary Magdalene, again, the first person and a woman that Jesus spoke to, who told her to go and give a message to his brethren that he was about to ascend unto his Father.
John 20 and Hebrews 9, verse 12.
So, after he returned later that same day, still Sunday, he then appeared to his disciples and encouraged them to touch him.
Luke 24, verse 39.
So again, he also fulfilled the wave offering by quickly leaving the earth, presented himself to his Father, and returned fulfilling every aspect of the Feast of First Fruits, literally. So now he could therefore be touched.
Even eating fish and honey with them.
That's a clue. Philippians 3:21 says we will have bodies like Jesus, so therefore we too will be able to eat in the new kingdom on earth, and that makes me happy. Anyhow, John 20, verse 22 says, he also breathed the Holy Spirit on them and opened their understanding of Scripture. They were now ready to preach with power. They had an early Pentecost, you know, like a foreshadow of what was to come in 50 days. Honey, could you read Leviticus 23, verses 15 and 16?
You shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering.
That's the first fruits.
Seven Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord.
In other words, they always begin counting on Sunday's Feast of First Fruits. So Pentecost would always be on a Sunday as well. Unfortunately, the modern Jews today, since they really don't recognize first fruits anymore, they incorrectly start counting from the high Sabbath day on the first day of unleavened bread.
So Pentecost seldom falls on a Sunday on their calendar.
Correct. But we follow the Word of God first over all traditions. Everything God does is precise
and orderly with much detail.
So again, he rose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits because he is the first fruits of the resurrection, as Paul states in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. Interesting that in the tribulation, soon after our rapture, there is a group of 144,000 Jews who will get saved pretty quickly as their spiritual eyes will be opened.
Perhaps they will visualize our departure.
Makes sense, like Elisha saw Elijah go up and then received a double anointing, as I believe the 144,000 will also receive.
Revelation 14 refers to them as the first fruits.
Well, yeah, because they're the first to accept Christ in that day after we are caught up, therefore replacing us by these wonderful new evangelists that are granted a special seal of protection where not even a hair on their head will be hurt.
Revelation 7.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is a fire of enthusiasm in Israel these days. You know, as many are expecting the Messiah and have built an altar for sacrificing just outside the Western Wall, and actually have for years now performed a reenactment of the sacrifice of the Lamb.
But without the Lamb.
Then they pray every year to be allowed to have a Passover sacrifice on the actual Temple Mount, where they can easily move the altar up there if given permission.
This year is not likely.
But the Jews are truly believing that their temple will soon be built and hope that the next U.S. president will play a big part in that.
Most suspect it will be part of the peace deal of Daniel 9:27.
And by the way, everything is prepared and ready to go. Even all the priests, their vestments, the utensils, harps, shofars, the silver trumpets, and the high priest has been designated.
And the red heifer is in Israel.
So they are very close, and we know from Revelation 11 that there will be a temple built and finished during the tribulation. And did we want to talk about John the Baptist?
We had a request,
didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay. So after John the Baptist was born at Passover. We need to talk about that. So we will begin that tonight, but we'll have to finish with more details next week, as there is a lot to say about this very special person, not often preached about.
Certainly not on the knowledge of exactly when he was born.
Right, for how could they? When most Christians don't even know Yeshua's real birth. This is
good
what,
point.
This is what we call chewing the meat that Hebrews 5 says we should be doing. Anyhow, about 2,000 years ago, John the Baptist was born on the first day of Passover season, therefore Nisan 14.
Exactly 6 months before Jesus was born.
Yes, so then what would happen 8 days later, which would be the last day of unleavened bread?
Of course, John's circumcision.
Right, which, by the way, was a very big deal and still is, even as important as one's birth.
Because it's a blood covenant to God.
Yes. So today, let's explain how we know this, because there's a wealth of information just by understanding one verse in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, verse 5. And honey, would you read that?
There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah. His wife was of daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth.
The key word here is the course, or some translations say the division of Abijah. This is how we know when John the Baptist was not only conceived, but when he was born, and therefore when Jesus was incarnated and later born. As a student of the word, it truly behooves all of us to know about these divisions of the priesthood.
As described in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 24.
Yes, and we will explain all of this, so if you don't let your mind wander, you will easily be able to see this too, because as you well know, nothing is in Scripture without a good reason. And we learn from Luke 1, verse 5, that John the Baptist's father was of the Levitical priesthood, division of Abijah.
Therefore, so was his son, John the Baptist.
Yes, and there are 24 courses or divisions of Levitical priests. And each course served 1 week of temple servitude twice a year. Abijah's group, according to 1 Chronicles 24:10, would serve the eighth course of every biblical year, counting from Nisan, and also the eighth course on the civil calendar, starting from Tishrei as well.
Therefore, we know when Zacharias served in the temple.
Right. And we read in Luke 1, verse 13, he, while serving, received his revelation that Elizabeth would finally conceive and to name him John. Again, we know that each Levite family served 1 week, twice a year, according to the order that David, directed by God, told them, as well as three times a year when all the priests would serve during the feasts, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles.
So, Zacharias would have served the eighth week plus the week of Passover.
Exactly. So that would be the ninth week of the biblical year, which brings you right up to Pentecost. You can look at any Hebrew calendar and count 9 weeks beginning in Nisan, and you come to the time of Pentecost when all would serve. But, and this is important, they would cast lots to see who would actually have the privilege to solely burn the incense.
And surprise, it was Zacharias.
Imagine that, which means he was alone to privately hear from the angel Gabriel. By the way, some priests never get to burn the incense because it was always done by casting lots.
Or in today's lingo, throw of the dice.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, Elizabeth would conceive that evening of Pentecost because we know by Luke 1, verse 15, that John the Baptist had the Holy Spirit from the time of conception, which is so like God. For John to be conceived on the day the Holy Spirit would later descend upon those in Jerusalem on Pentecost Sunday. I know you all know about that in Acts chapter 2. I am in awe of God's precision. So voila, 280 days later brings us to Passover when he was, when he was born. And it just fits like a glove. And of course we're going to continue with this great man of God next week. But till then, let me ask you, are you as close to Jesus as you should be? You can even be closer just by spending more time in His Word. God bless you. Till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.